Are you taking action in your life consistent with desired outcomes? Personal accountability is the key. Impact Corporation is dedicated to helping individuals and organizations improve performance through accountability. Learn about Impact's training and coaching products at impaqcorp.com or call 310-275-0055.
Join the He Said, She Said accountability team, Mark Samuel and Sophie Sheesh of Impact Corporation, on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings 9 to 11 here on 104.1 The Truth.
Welcome back to Circles of Change, where your path is created by walking on it. This is Dr. Zara Larson, of course, my broadcast partner from Impact Corporation, Mark Samuel. How are you today, Mark?
Hi, Zara. How are you?
Terrific. Great. Well, I got to tell you, Mark, the segments we've done, the 8 or 9 leading up to this one about covering your accountability model was just terrific. I think as we launch forward now into the next phase of our conversations, I'd like us to start, though, just to remind our listeners who may not be familiar with your work, what do you mean by accountability?
Well, accountability is about achieving what matters to us, really at a very core level, what matters to us in our families, what matters to us at work, accomplishing our goals, our dreams, and it's really taking action consistent with those desired outcomes. And when it comes to a family, you got to have shared accountability where we can all count on each other. Or if it's a team in the workplace, we've got to have shared accountability. So accountability is both an individual issue about accomplishing our goals and dreams, but it's also a shared issue when it comes to a family or team.
You bet. That's great. Well, we also talked about this whole accountability model, how you were applying these very precepts to your own shifting and growing of your business during these tough economic times. And one thing you had shared with us in a recent show is a recognition that now was the time to probably launch some freestanding products. And I want to commend you for that, because this Wednesday, of course, you've got the first of such going to debut a webinar on increasing employee engagement. So why don't we give our listeners a kind of a precursor to that, Mark? The whole engagement piece.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, it's been one of those troubling nags, if you will, because I've, you know, as you know, provided management training for years, and one of the major areas needing improvement in organizations is the relationship between supervisors or first-line managers and the individual contributor or their direct reports. And so often, this is the core issue around employee engagement. If a manager does not have a good relationship with their direct reports at that lowest level, people are going to be afraid to speak up, afraid to share. They're not going to be engaged. They're going to just go through the motions of their job. And we aren't really accomplishing what the organization wants to accomplish, either for their customers in that case or for employee satisfaction.
You bet. In fact, the section right before, Bill Hendricks mentioned that the number one reason that people leave jobs or hate their job is the lack of relationship with their supervisor. So very continuous thought there.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem has been, no matter how much training and development we provide those supervisors, it's very difficult for them to translate it back into the relationships with their team. Partly because their core expertise is generally technical, not relational. And second is it requires some major habit changes that, you know, they feel nervous about doing, so they never get started. And that is literally the impetus for why we created a product approach to development rather than a self-learning approach to development rather than a training approach.
Because, again, this idea of self-learning, you're talking about really how we're going to change our own individual behavior from the inside out as opposed to a fix from the outside in.
Yes, and on a very basic level, it goes back to, and this is what I had to do inside my own mind a bit, is it goes back to how I learned to ride a bicycle. Because I never read a book, I never went to a training program, never listened to an audio tape. I actually had to get on the bicycle, and I had to have someone guiding me as I was slipping, falling, wavering, all of those things to catch me. But I had to learn it by doing it. There is no substitute in terms of learning to ride a bike. And I think the same is true for being a supervisor.
It can be
all learned in the classroom.
I think you're right. But the other part of it, that takes some real resiliency then in giving people the benefit of the doubt if they're in that training mode. Or more importantly, that we have the right air cover and coaches to buffet as people step into those such important roles in organizations.
Yeah, and that's exactly what organizations have done. They've hired coaches to help managers out. But the problem with that is it's extremely expensive. And who's going to, you know, pay for coaching at a supervisor level? I might pay for coaching for an executive who's going to impact a whole organization, or maybe even a middle manager. But I'm not going to be hiring coaches at the first line level, because it would take too many coaches. It would be too costly.
And the time involved. But the other piece of it, you know, you're talking about training, and, you know, can you train trust? I don't know. That's your real challenge, right? This is about creating an environment.
So that's the key. That's why I think I don't even, you know, I use self-learning. You'll notice I didn't use training.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think that the only way to learn is through training. I think the way we learn is through experience. And then the question is, can you guide people in an experience to increase trust? Oh, absolutely. We've all done it as coaches. We've done it even as, you know, consultants and even as trainers. You can guide people. It's not about training them. Do you see the difference?
Absolutely. And I think this idea, because guiding still requires someone to stand up on their own two feet.
That's right. And guiding also means that there can be other people as part of the guiding. So, for instance, what we've done in this program is that we've created a DVD that actually guides the manager and the team together to build trust by giving them activities that are trust building. So all they have to do is follow the activities, follow the workbook that goes with it step by step. And just by answering the questions and having discussion, both trust will build up, safety will build up, and the manager will learn by doing how to do that for himself in the future.
Mark, you might want to explain, I know you and I talk about this openly, we have on the show, this whole nuance of safety. What do you mean by that?
Well, safety is about getting out of the comfort zone, and yet we're, you know, so that we're not just doing things the way we've always done them, but we're actually safe to take the risks of change. So true safety always is coupled with are you participating in change? And then the degree to which you're willing to participate in change is your degree of safety.
You bet. Can you give us an example, perhaps, of a team you've worked with that could kind of give that some meat on the bones here?
Yeah. There was a group we worked with, a couple of months ago, in fact. And they had very low trust, very low safety, to the point, and it was a management team, where they were not open or willing to talk to each other. It was the most polite group. Everybody looked friendly, but when they went back to the workplace, there was absolutely no cooperation, a lot of blaming, etc. And the one thing is, about safety is that the first way to build safety is have a reason for it.
That's right.
So there's nothing like a good reason, like this is not working and we have to make a change and you guys have to do it to get everyone at least more interested. But then we basically just started a conversation. Now, this is what's really important about building safety. You don't build safety by going back into the past and rehashing it to find out what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All you build in that case is judgment and blame. So what we did was we had a discussion all around what would increase trust and safety between you. Well, it would be that we would, you know, follow up when we have a commitment with each other. And if we're not going to make a commitment, then let's tell each other that we're not making a commitment. And, you know, if you have an issue with someone, you bring it to them rather than talking to your, you know, behind their backs. And they literally started to create exactly what would create safety, given that this is what they weren't doing up to this point. But no one talked about that part.
Exactly. Well, what caught my attention, though, is it's a sure sign of things not being right in a team, that they don't have trust and safety, is if there isn't room for disagreement, right? I mean, isn't that one of the classic dysfunctions of teams, is when everything looks to be just nice on the surface?
Yeah, exactly. And especially in a meeting, you know, if they're in meetings and everything looks nice, and yet they're not accomplishing their goals, there's all sorts of breakdown behind, you know, when they get back to the workplace, you know something's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't be that nice in the meeting and still have a bunch of breakdown outside. If everything were going great outside, then you could think, okay, well, that's possible for the meeting. But, you know, you're missing your goals. it's got to show up in the meetings.
That's right. Just to remind our listeners, I'm speaking here with Mark Samuel, who leads Impact Corporation. We're talking about a new webinar he's going to be hosting this Wednesday, March 31st. That's from 11 to 12 Pacific time. And it's you can take a look at it at www.stasolutions.com, Success Through Accountability Solutions. I like that name, Mark.
Yes.
Now, you're going to walk people through learning why this needs to be more than classic training, obviously, the self-learning and also some keys to building trust. I think you're also, are you not, Mark, really, though, going to talk about recovery in the midst of all this? You know, the notion that not everything's going to go right, so you need to kind of plan for it in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the major parts that we put into this program is several different recovery methods. The first recovery method is just simply having the group, as one of the steps in each lesson, they review what was accomplished or not accomplished in the previous lesson. So that's an obvious way to recover. And we made sure that in the lesson, if they didn't do as well as they thought, it's okay. You know, forgiveness is part of it, like the accountability model, and let's learn from it and move on. So that's one recovery. The second recovery we built in is that with every action that they commit to, that a team commits to, they actually send their commitments to us at Impact. So even though we're not there physically, we're not just selling this product and then launching them to be on their own. We are having them stay connected with us, and we're going to provide coaching and guidance as they go through the process, even though we're not there.
But I think that typically is a classic example for self-learning and goal directing, is if you go public with what your commitments are to yourself or your team, that has a way of really driving you to follow through.
Well, absolutely, and that's you got the hidden message on that, which is
we're not going to let you sneak out from underneath it.
Exactly. You know, and again, how many training workshops do we go to where there's actual follow-up from the trainer afterwards when people get to the workplace? Almost never, unless they've added on a coaching assignment. Here, it's actually provided for free as part of the package.
That's wonderful. And I assume in the process, too, Mark, you're teaching others how to coach one another as well.
Exactly. And that's where we want to get this as a community and start to learn from each other. And that's why we have a third recovery plan, which is we're going to be offering for all the people who participate in this a free monthly webinar where all the participants get on a call together to share best practices, share concerns, get help from each other. Because my ultimate goal is that we build a whole community of people dedicated to accountability and employee engagement and begin to increase that desire for participation.
Which is perfect. And actually, as always, without it being planned, you just set up my next guest who'll be here at the top of the hour, Lou Carter from the Best Practice Institute. And his organization is all about that. Is, in fact, his motto, if we don't sing it, is, you know, get a little help from your friends.
Oh, absolutely. And that's when going to work is fun, quite honestly. You know, you're feeling progress, you're sharing with others, you know, it's all about wins, you're all about support. You can't get too down if things don't go well because you got a network of support around you, and that's definitely what we want to build, both within each team that does this, but also between the community of people that are participating in the Success Through Accountability.
That's great. Well, Mark, for our listeners who are leaders in organizations or part of the human resource community or even coaches and consultants like you and I, there's a lot of buzz about employee engagement and the word engagement. And I think it behooves us to talk about that term because sometimes it elicits to mean that I'm hooking my employees to give more of their discretionary time and thus squeeze more and more, you know, water or blood out of the rock. And I don't think that's at all what you're playing out here, your use of the word engagement.
No, here's the way I look at it is that, we all have our jobs to do. But within it, you know, any given day on our job, we run into obstacles that make our job harder. You know, and that could be that, you know, I've got some bureaucratic system that really doesn't work. Sometimes it's I'm following a procedure that's way outdated and there's 10 steps when all I need to do is 2 steps. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, other team members that aren't really cooperating and participating as you know, equal members. Any of these breakdowns cause my work and my day to become miserable. And, yet there's no avenue for employees to share their concerns, to share their ideas for improvement. And sometimes what ends up happening is it becomes really a complaining type of engagement behind the scenes to, you know, employee to employee without it ever getting to a manager who can actually do something about it. And, of course, like we've said before, the managers aren't really prepared to deal with it. So the way I look at employee engagement, and that's why, again, we've created a program for this, is that I think it needs to be focused so it doesn't end up to be an employee engagement gripe session, but truly an employee engagement about how do we make our jobs better by serving our customers more effectively, by reducing wasted steps and wasted effort and improving efficiency, and increasing our teamwork. Because if we have a focus to employee engagement on those three things, there are so many good ideas out there that we're not capturing that can improve our businesses almost immediately.
Isn't that the case? And in fact, so many times when you get into whether you call it process improvement or opening up the suggestion box, and you go and implement something, someone will say, "Well, gee, we've been trying to mention that, to take hold of that for years, but nobody's been listening."
That's
and
right.
So you're really saying, though, let's start at the very basic element, and that is the relationship between the first-line supervisor and the associate, that it provides a different playing field.
Yes.
That's what you're looking for, a real different set.
Yeah, and you just said something that was extremely important. In fact, I just had a meeting yesterday with the directors of the University of Santa Monica who just completed a survey. And you know what the number one complaint that people have about, you know, what causes their life to feel miserable?
No, what?
The number one complaint, it was by 42% of the population. The next, the second was at 10%. So it gives you an idea about the, you know, how important this was. 42% of the people said, "People do not listen to me. I don't have an avenue for sharing my voice."
Yeah, that's right.
And that, to me, is the whole issue of employee engagement.
You betcha. And also, they don't listen to me. And so as a result, people will retrench, or that really probably becomes then the seeds for fear and not having safety.
Oh, absolutely. And the only place they're going to, you know, get safety is then amongst themselves in rebellion, resistance, apathy, upset anger, which, again, you know, takes away from the customer, takes away from the organization being successful, and creates a lousy place to work.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Well, Mark, you've got your webinar now coming up this Wednesday, March 31st from 11 to 12 Pacific Standard Time. How can people participate if they want to join in? How do they get to you here?
Very simple. They go to the website, theaccountabilityloop.com. And that gets you immediately to a registration. It's theaccountabilityloop.com, no spaces, just all one linkage of three words, and they can sign up for that webinar.
Wonderful. Now, I assume, knowing how thorough you are with your colleagues, that this isn't the first time you're floating this information, that you've already piloted it, so to speak, in a one-hour setting. Did you have a couple teams try it out, the techniques, or is this something that just over the years you've refined while you've worked inside of companies?
Well, kind of both, actually. We did have an earlier version of this kind of program that we did more as an orientation at one time, and that was really successful. And then we decided, no, we need to change this to make it less of an orientation and just more of a practical approach for supervisors being developed, taking the ideas and then taking the tools that we've been using for years, you know, in training settings that work so well, that now, okay, let's do it with your teams out of the work, you know, out of the workshop setting and more into your team meeting setting. So the other thing we wanted to do is also make it so that people don't have to get away from their work, because people don't have time to go to trainings these days. They don't have budget for it. So we had to do something that was both cost-effective but also practical for the end user.
I like the idea, too, that your real end goal is to build a community of people that can support one another around that entire term of accountability, getting and achieving results, not, as organizations get trapped in many times, just measuring activity.
That's right. And that this is all pointed to it. In fact, the whole sixth lesson, there's six lessons, which is to be done in six meetings. The whole sixth lesson is dedicated to measuring and acknowledging all the different changes and successes that happen with improving customer service, improving productivity and efficiency, reducing costs, and improving teamwork.
Which, of course, plays to your sweet spot, being the statistician and numbers guru that you are. You know, I know we've announced this webinar, Mark, is building trust and safety between first-line managers and associates. I venture to suggest that, of course, this isn't just about the lowest level of the organization, that these kind of issues and probably the opportunities or techniques equally apply to executive teams.
Yes, it does. And yet, you know, we always want to correct someone else for our problems. So things tend to sometimes get pushed down to the lowest level. But yes, the absolute, you know, the concepts, you know, are applicable all, you know, to all levels. It does get a little bit more complicated when you get to higher levels because now you're dealing with cross-functional issues as opposed to just vertical direct report issues.
Yeah.
So,
but
know,
I think I want to. I should mention that, of course, Mark, you're not waylaying the need for supervisor training, right? This is just an augmentation, because still fundamentally, coaching and developmental experiences for people as they become first-time supervisors are still important. But you're trying to approach this particular element in a very different learning mechanism.
Yes, absolutely. And this isn't meant to be the end-all, be-all. It's just meant to give supervisors an opportunity to use their meetings more effectively to promote engagement and to produce results, which quite honestly is fairly unique for any training program. Based on this and kind of the way I see this going, though, I might end up coming up with a whole series of supervisory development that is done in this format rather than a workshop format.
Yeah, very good. I think that's right. The other thing you said in your little teaser about the webinar, you says a special approach for improving employee engagement that's fun and energizing.
Yeah.
So I don't want you to spill the beans, but the idea that I suspect that you're going to do this in a way that makes it easy, too.
Well, not only easy, I think there's something else about it. And I think that the one thing that I see organizations missing, and so I'll spill a little bean, but I won't give you the whole bean, is that organizations are not building spirit in their organizations, amongst their people. And until we tap into the hearts and spirit of each individual in the organization and really make this a human effort, not just an organizational improvement effort, then it's going to wane over time. But if you can capture the heart and soul of people, make it fun, make it something that people are all engaged in, that they, you know, that their fellow teammates are engaged in and fellow teams are engaged in, then this can be just phenomenal in terms of results. And that we've seen before and done before in organizations.
Exactly. And that's where this word engagement wants to go from productivity to really spirit and heart, as you said. Well, again, a reminder from Mark Samuels, you can go to theaccountabilityloop.com to sign up for the webinar called Increasing Employee Engagement. It's this Wednesday the 31st from 11 to 12 Pacific Standard Time. For those of you who are listening, it isn't just for you and your colleagues, of course, but go approach your supervisor, right, Mark, and invite him to come with you to it.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, again, this has been Circles of Change. Dr. Zara Larson, my guest, Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation. Mark, we'll catch you again real soon, and I'm going to be on the line this Wednesday.
Thank you so much, Zara.
You bet. Take care. Have a great Saturday.
Are you taking action in your life consistent with desired outcomes? Personal accountability is the key. Impact Corporation is dedicated to helping individuals and organizations improve performance through accountability. Learn about Impact's training and coaching products at impaqcorp.com or call 310-275-0055.